Welcome, everybody, and welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, while we talk about some politicized law enforcement on the federal level. And I am so excited to be joined by State Representative Clinton Anderson to talk about the politics of law enforcement in this state, specifically how to get communities the number of police officers that we need to keep our families and communities safe. Welcome to the show, Representative. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what the problem is and how it is impacting our communities as it stands right now. And then we'll get into the solution that you, in a bipartisan, I like to call it now cross-partisan way, are proposing to solve the problem. But what's the problem, sir?
Long-term, we've seen fewer and fewer people signing up to get into the law enforcement profession. For example, I talked to one of the previous Rock County sheriffs, and he said they used to be able to fill a lecture hall with prospective applicants to join the sheriff's department. Now they're struggling to fill a small classroom. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing less people getting involved, and especially in our smaller communities, they don't have the budget flexibility to send folks to the police academy or get the number of applicants they need. So we're seeing a significant shortfall, and people aren't staying in this career as long as they used to either.
Yeah, I certainly know from my time at Milwaukee County, it was a constant challenge to get sufficient recruits for our sheriff's department, as well as specifically corrections officers for our county jail. It was systemic. A little bit later on this afternoon, I'm going to return to a conversation with former U.S. Attorney James Santel, and we're going to talk about the problems that the FBI on the federal level has been experiencing. So the data on this is quite specific. There was a 2024 report from the International Association of Chiefs of Police, obviously a group that's interested in having more police officers, admittedly so. But the data, as far as I can tell in reviewing it, it seems quite compelling that simply the total number of law enforcement officers, whether we're looking nationwide or on a state or community by community basis, is at around the lowest it has been in decades. So what's the proposed solution, State Representative, and who is standing shoulder to shoulder with you to try to get communities the police officers that we need?
Yeah, so we are really trying to focus on smaller police departments, so departments that have less than 25 sworn police officers. And this is a grant program to help them send people to the police academy. So for folks that are listening that may not know, generally our larger departments can pay to send somebody to the police academy. Our smaller departments cannot do that. So they're not only trying to find the small number of people who are at the police academy on their own, they're just not able to send anybody there to begin with. So they are stuck in a downward spiral that's even worse than you're seeing in some of the larger communities. So myself, Representative Donovan, Senator Jesse James, and Senator Brad Paff have all teamed up together to introduce a bipartisan bill to help address that need. And, really happy to have the support of every major police group in the state on this.
Yeah, we're actually going to be talking with Representative Donovan tomorrow. I know Bob from way back in the day because we both are from the city of Milwaukee, and yeah. Mr. Donovan was on the Common Council when I was still with the city. The thing that's so challenging here is precisely what you point out, which is this is a major obstacle for the smallest police departments, right? It's not a big issue for Madison or Racine or Milwaukee or Green Bay. Those departments are large enough with significant budgets that can afford to send folks to the academy. You all seem to be running into a wee bit of resistance. What this seems to, and listen, we can put a pin in the debate that needs to continue about the trust relationship between community and police, right? We can talk and have a deep conversation about trying to ensure that our officers can maintain their mental health so that they can be of service to the community in the way that they would best want to show up. But those are detailed conversations. There's just a need to have officers in our communities. What seems to be the hangup? Is it the fact that Democrats don't want to talk about this? Is it the partisanship of the thing? What is the political problem?
Sometimes I struggle with that answer too. This proposal would have been $4 million, which in a budget as large as the state's would have been a drop in the bucket to really help, you know, small police departments all over the state. It didn't get in the budget. I'm really disappointed in that, but I'm going to continue fighting. I know the rest of the legislators who signed on will continue to fight for this because we hear it all the time, you know, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you hear that we need to make sure our communities are safe. This is a great way to do that. And personally, I think when you talk about the trust in that community relationship, getting somebody from that community who maybe is unable to get into that department because they don't have the financial means, this could really help us build a better bridge and better community policing practices when you get that small town person to come back to their community and be part of their agency.
Yeah. Again, that problem is more pernicious in smaller communities where incomes are lower. It seems both like classist and elitist. Clinton, I will say this to you, my friend. You come across Democrats who can't figure out that this is something that they should be voting yes on. You send them to me. I'll have them on this show and we'll talk about it. This is one of those things where I think, you know, purity on an issue to the detriment of the thing that you purport, the value that we want, which is safe communities. But the purity test of how that has to get politically or in a partisan way played out gets in the way of things that to me are so common sense. And as you pointed out, Representative, $4 million in a budget the size of Wisconsin? Come on. What? I'm just you're a state representative, you're a Dem, you're in the minority. What is this like when you get to an issue that you're like, well, this should be a no-brainer for everybody, and you run into a brick wall? Tell me what your experience has been like as a state rep.
I would say, you know, I understand that there's a lot of priorities and you can only fund so much, but I feel like this is one, especially for my friends across the aisle, they talk about this as like their top thing, you know, law enforcement, protecting cops, getting more cops on the streets. And now we have a very small expenditure, common sense proposal that everybody seems to agree on. And suddenly we're like, pump the brakes. Let's not put this in the budget. So there are so many times that it's incredibly frustrating. And, you know, I really hope that we can at least get this a public hearing this session to have the conversation, because we introduced it last session. I will say it was later. It was after the budget. So I get it. But we introduced this in plenty of time to put this in the budget and it just got left out.
And again, the folks supporting this, we've got yourself, State Rep Clinton Anderson, a Democrat out of Beloit, State Rep Bob Donovan, Republican out of Greenville, State Senator Jesse James, who's been a guest on this program. Again, a regular guy, a reasonable person trying to do common sense stuff. He's Republican out of Thorpe. Was this the same alignment of legislators that you had the first time you tried to get this passed last session?
Yep, it was us, and then Senator Brad Paff also is one of the Senate authors. Yes. So we all did this, put it out last session, put it out again this session, and I'm glad to see so many of our colleagues on both sides of the aisle signed up to, you know, be a co-author of this bill. And, you know, I hope that this, you know, when we see these media hits, I've had a lot more news cameras and, you know, media requests talking about this bill. I'm hoping that brings up enough attention that people say, yeah, maybe we should move on this.
Honestly, send your colleagues my way, because just as a political point, that's a good argument for a Democrat to be able to make. In other words, I can have complicated and interesting and nuanced conversations about this subset of issues related to the police and community relationship. And I can also acknowledge that our small communities, especially in rural communities, need some help making sure they've got the minimum level of officers required to keep their community safe. Let me ask you this, Representative Anderson, and folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Clinton Anderson, the state representative, a Democrat out of Beloit. Let me ask you this, Representative, do you think there are other opportunities? Do you have ideas about legislation? Are there other truly cross-partisan pieces of legislation that you've seen and potentially worked with some of these same colleagues on?
Yeah, and it hasn't been just this topic. I've done some bipartisan work on like artificial intelligence too. So we've seen successes. So I'm not totally gloom and doom on getting things done. it's just that sometimes these ideas just seem like they're such a slam dunk, and that we should all just say, sure, you know, even if somebody is saying the system of law enforcement isn't perfect, we do need to make sure we have officers available. If somebody calls 911, they need to be there. And I think the vast majority in this building do agree with that statement.
Yes. And I think the vast majority of Wisconsinites would, right? Like, if that was a referenda question, I have no doubt in my mind that the vast majority of Wisconsinites would say, yeah, of course, especially given the relatively small amount of funding. This is one of those like high ROI opportunities. As an economist, that's what I think about. It's like that $4 million in the grand scheme of the budget, literally a drop in the proverbial budget. But the impact of those dollars in these communities, massive. Gee whiz, Democratic or Republican gubernatorial candidates, this would seem to be something of wide appeal. So let's zoom out a little bit further, Representative. This is a difficult time to be in politics. I'm not an elected official, but I talk about it day in, day out. Why do you continue to want to serve your community in this specific way as an elected official?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we have enough time, but I finished college. I got into the nonprofit space, working at a domestic violence shelter, and really had a calling to help people. Simultaneously, while getting my degree, I was on the city council in Beloit. So that's always been my calling, is public service, whether it's in a nonprofit space or in government. So I've just really always enjoyed that. So when I had the opportunity to be in the state legislature, I said, sign me up, I'm ready. And despite the challenges and the rhetoric we're seeing now, I still am very happy to serve. And you know, this is who I am. I'm really happy to do it, and I hope to do it for a while.
Yeah, I wish more of our elected officials reminded themselves of the fact that it is supposed to be in service, not in service of the community, not in service of one's own ambition or ego or seeing your name in big bright lights. Though I'm so happy to have you on this fine program, yeah, talking about this critical piece of legislation. What's number one and two on your major legislative priorities, aside from this bit of legislation, for this next session, sir?
Well, I mean, obviously there's the big broad topics of supporting education, healthcare, but my very focused topics have been artificial intelligence and local government issues. Those are, one is a scary technology. People aren't sure how they feel about it. The other one, I came from local government. I saw the challenges that the state put up when trying to govern at the local level. So that's been something I'm always ready to dig in on and be a policy wonk about.
Well, do you have a little bit of time? Because what I'd like to do, take care of a little bit of business. We got some messages coming up for our fine listeners. And since we both are intense about local government and our love of good local government, can you stick around? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Why not?
Awesome. Folks, why local government is the most important unit of government in your life, and what we should all be asking of our elected officials next, with Representative Clinton Anderson, Democrat, out of Beloit. Stay tuned, I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.